Among the elements contributing to Dewey's confidence was the recovery of the radio and pair of binoculars the murderers had stolen from the Clutter house and subsequently disposed of in Mexico City, where, having flown there for the purpose, KBI agent Harold Nye traced them to a pawn shop. Moreover, Smith, while dictating his statement, had revealed the whereabouts of other potent evidence. "We hit the highway and drove east," he'd said, in the process of describing what he and Hickok had done after fleeing the murder scene. "Drove like hell. Dick driving. I think we both felt very high. I did. Very high, and very relieved at the same time. Couldn't stop laughing. Neither one of us. Suddenly it all seemed very funny. I don't know why. It just did. But the gun was dripping blood, and my clothes were stained. There was even blood in my hair. So we turned off onto a country road and drove maybe 8 miles till we were way out on the prairie. You could hear coyotes. We smoked a cigarette, and Dick went on making jokes about what had happened back there. I got out of the car and siphoned some water out of the water tank and washed the blood off the gun barrel. Then I scraped a hole in the ground with Dick's hunting knife, the one I used on Mr. Clutter, and buried in it the empty shells and all the leftover nylon cord and adhesive tape. After that, we drove till we came to US 83 and headed east toward Kansas City and Olathe. Around dawn, Dick stopped at one of those picnic places, what they call rest areas, where they have open fireplaces. We built a fire and burned stuff. The gloves we'd worn, and my shirt. Dick said he wished we had an ox to roast. He said he'd never been so hungry. It was almost noon when we got to Olathe. Dick dropped me at my hotel and went on home to have Sunday dinner with his family. Yes, he took the knife with him. The gun, too. KBI agents, dispatched to Hickok's home, found the knife inside a fishing tackle box and the shotgun still casually propped against a kitchen wall. Hickok's father, who refused to believe his boy could have taken part in such a horrible crime, insisted the gun hadn't been out of the house since the first week in November and therefore could not be the death weapon. As for the empty cartridge shells, the cord and tape, these were retrieved with the aid of Virgil Peets, a county highway employee who, working with a road grader in the area pinpointed by Perry Smith, shaved away the earth inch by inch until the buried articles were uncovered. Thus, the last loose strings were tied. The KBI had now assembled an unshakable case, for tests established that the shells had been discharged by Hickok's shotgun, and the remnants of cord and tape were of a piece with the materials used to bind and silence the victims. Monday, 11 January. Have a lawyer. Mr. Fleming, old man with red tie. Informed by the defendants that they were without funds to hire legal counsel, the court, in the person of Judge Roland H. Tate, appointed as their representatives two local lawyers, Mr. Arthur Fleming and Mr. Harrison Smith. Fleming, 71, a former mayor of Garden City, a short man who enlivens an unsensational appearance with rather conspicuous neckwear, resisted the assignment. "I do not desire to serve," he told the judge. "But if the court sees fit to appoint me, then of course I have no choice." Hickok's attorney, Harrison Smith, 45, 6 feet tall, a golfer, an elk of exalted degree, accepted the task with resigned grace. "Someone has to do it. And I'll do my best. Though I doubt that'll make me too popular around here."